Welcome to the Hurry Up Pinball Podcast. I am Craig. I am here today for episode, I think this is episode 5, Matt. I think.
Wow.
Okay, Izzy was 4, you're number 5. So it's our first repeat guest, right? He's here today because you're picking up a game you loaned me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, hell, he's here from Asheville. It's 2 hours away. Why not record another episode? It's Friday night. Why not, right? So
yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hopefully this will be as fun as last time.
Yeah.
We've slowly improved some of the stuff, but I'm working on it. But I appreciate everybody out there who's been watching the podcast and giving me some feedback. Trying to make it better as time goes on. Hopefully we'll get it to the point where, you know, there's a lot of enjoyable segments and a lot of good info. So with that, we're going to talk about a couple issues today. When I say issues, I just mean pinball stuff. But I got a nice little list here. We're going to do a section 2 called Deals of the Week. So I've been scouring Pinside. You and I talk about this all the time. We talk about all the time with pricing and games, and it's like, dude, keep me from buying this, please.
So I found
6 fantastic deals of the week. So we'll talk about those. So if you're in the market for these games, pay attention, because some of them are going to disappear pretty quick. I think one on the list is already on its way out. It's pending. But just to give you an idea what a good deal looks like. And then we're going to play 10 questions again. And I got some good ones for you. You did really well last time. So the question is, do I ratchet it up?
Yeah, no.
Or do we just leave it? So, all right. Our first topic today. We're going to jump right in. The X-Men Shooter Lane issue. Mm. What's your take on that? Is it overblown? Do you think it's as big of a problem as it is? Let me know your thoughts on it, and then we'll go from there.
I think it's obviously it's an issue because it's affecting enough machines. Stern is sending out a kit, but if I was an owner of the game, I don't think it's the number one thing that would be driving me crazy.
Yeah,
I think it's that issue combined with some other little tweaks and people not being happy where the code's at. And it's all compiling into this kind of shitstorm online.
Yeah.
You know, the forum is just, you know, if you're on Pinside or whatever, I even see it in Stern Facebook posts where people in the comments are just, you know, crapping on, like,
angry.
Yeah, they're angry. Yeah. So I think the shooter skill shot thing is kind of the just the icing on the cake for some other things. And it's become the focal point. And a lot of times I wonder if the people complaining even own the game, you know what I mean? Like
they're
just piling on to like crap on Stern or whatever.
Yeah. It's that herd mentality sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm like, there's been some great games where people are like, this game sucks.
Yeah.
And I go play them. This game's pretty good.
Yeah. The two that always come to mind because,
I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah. I got early versions of them, mm-hmm. you know, for route or a location. And the first one was Stranger Things. And the code was lacking, but
yeah.
I knew the game was going to be good. You know, it just was going to take some time.
Yeah.
And then another game by Lonnie Ropp on code was Bond. We unboxed the game. There was, you know, the code was pretty...
It was like, you can do 4 things and we'll talk to you in 3 months.
Pretty sparse.
Right?
Yeah. And just wasn't really well fleshed out, but I already liked the game. I was like, the game shoots, it's cool, it's fun. I was like, I had full faith in it. Lonnie doesn't get enough credit,
right?
Ever, you know, but I like his games. If you like modes, you're going to get a lot of modes with Lonnie.
I will tell you, there's an upside to that when games come out like that, and you can benefit from it if you're willing to be patient. You know, like Stranger Things got to a really good place. What is there, like 20 modes in that game?
I counted.
Bond is ridiculous with the amount of stuff it's got packed into it. And everybody was like, there's nothing here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I did? I bought that game early and I got a good deal on it because it was sitting. And again, I got lucky because I had mine 4 days and then they threw in the code where it stacked.
Yeah.
And it's almost like for me on Bond, the code there with that, it was a situation where I think so many people complained about it. Stern was like, guys, we're going all in on this because we got to squash this.
Right.
We got to show them that we have a ton of assets. And they did that. They kept putting so much stuff in that game. It's loaded. It's loaded. And if you can pick up a game like that when it's kind of in that infancy stage and it's kind of growing up and get a great deal on it, man, I'll ride that out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'll for a while. You know, if I've got to wait 8 months for Izzy with his Pirates of the Caribbean, they just put the wizard mode in 5 years later. Like, that's a little bit too long.
Yeah. The thing about Bond was when we unboxed it, we started counting inserts of like, okay, there's this many villains, there's this many henchmen, there's this many Bond girls and all this. And I was like, there's going to be a lot in this game. That, like, it's the vision's already there. They just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
The question with X-Men, where I think people are a little dicey and worried about it, is it's hard to tell where it's going to go. With Bond, I could see it. With Stranger Things, you could see the inserts and be like, there's going to be a lot here.
Yeah. But the game's loaded.
Yeah. With X-Men, you're looking at that cube when you start modes and you're like, is this going to be enough?
Yeah.
It will be enough, because if you think about Jaws, there's really not a ton of modes. There's your main shot modes, but then there's the sharks. And there's all the other stuff around it.
All together, it feels like a ton.
Right.
Izzy nailed it on that. He was like, look, with this game, when he was on the podcast, he said, look, is it his best? No. Is it as good as Jurassic Park? No. He said, but it's fun. There's a lot to do in it, and it's fun.
Yeah, and I'm with themes I really like, there's a huge bias factor, and I recognize that.
Yeah.
I have no attachment to Jurassic Park, but I'm willing
But I love that game.
But I'm willing to admit it's probably my favorite layout ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like that layout.
Except when I'm playing bad, then the game
it's a sea of posts if you're playing bad. But, you know, Jaws probably isn't quite as difficult of a shooter as Jurassic can be sometimes, and it's definitely not as easy as Godzilla. I think it's a good, you know, middle ground between the two.
Yeah.
But God, I love the movie. I grew up with that movie, so it just boosts Jaws so high. Like, you know, we talked about it last time with Twilight Zone. Not Lawler's best layout by any stretch.
Right. Right.
But they nailed the theme so well.
So with that in mind, what's Lawler's best layout?
Ooh, Lawler's best layout.
You know, if you say it's not his best layout, you gotta bring something to the table.
I think Dialed In may be his best layout.
I'll tell you what, if that scoop, that SIM card shot was a little wider,
I'll give you that.
I'd probably still have the game.
Yeah, if I run through all his games, starting with Banzai to Earthshaker to Whirlwind, on and on and on. Gophers, Roadshow. I'm going Dialed In.
I'm always rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's he talking about?
I'm definitely going. I still think Dialed In is probably Jersey Jack's best layout. Outside of Elton John, but here's the thing about Elton John, I feel like, is it's so much like Star Trek, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot like other Richie games, like a lot. Like
I played a lot of games on it about a week ago. Jen played in a tournament, and I went there. And I played a lot more Elton John. I played some more Scooby.
It shoots phenomenal.
Yeah, it does.
But it's Steve Ritchie greatest hits, where Dialed In is more. I think it's a lot more creative.
Yeah,
like he took the trap door from Funhouse and put it in there, but
he presented it in a different way, which made it really fun.
I just think, discounting Elton John possibly, that Dialed In is still their best layout, and maybe Lawler's best layout.
Yeah.
Flowy layout, you know. You would think that cell phone shot would be a rattle trap, a turd, scoop. It works perfect.
Yeah. I was always looking for new ways to backhand that thing or like get in there.
But to your point, the SIM card shot is the Achilles heel of that layout. But with most games, I can accept one or two things.
I fixed it. I turned on roll over the SIM card shot. Because if you beat the mode and you don't collect the SIM card, it's gone. And you're never getting in that game. And because that shot is so hard, I said that's the one thing I did on that game. I have no shame. I will, if a game's pissing me off and something's not right, I will tweak a setting, you know, just if I feel it's warranted.
Yeah,
you know, like Labyrinth, I've tried a couple different things, it didn't really make a difference, so I just went back to stock. On that, rolling over the SIM card shot, you don't hit that shot, and it is tough. It is a little small. It's a tight, tight shot.
It almost seems like it doesn't have a really clear feed off the flipper.
Right.
It's almost like it's not a designated shot or so. Yeah. A lot of times it just had to fall in there. I had better odds of like ricocheting it.
Yeah,
in there.
That's how a lot of them I got. It ricocheted in, and at that point it's just totally random.
Right, right.
You know, but so to have it taken away, where you don't get a shot to go after it again, even though you beat the mode, brutal. I'm like, it's brutal.
But back to the X-Men thing, the question is, does Wason, you know, who's coding the game, is he going to be able to fill it out? Okay, so we only have these modes, right? And, you know, some of them are probably better than others, like any other game, or maybe you like more some more than others. But the question is there going to be those things around it that are engaging enough to people go, wow, this is a really great code set, you know?
Yeah.
Time will tell. That's my fear with it, is it, you know, I'm not really worried about the mechanical stuff. There's a lot of people that are tweaking things that they've, the community always figures out. You'll go into the forum, all these tag threads of fixes, and Stern sending out a kit for the shooter.
And that's a pretty big deal for Stern to send out a kit. I mean, they did that with Rush, right? With the scoop. Yeah. They sent out some protectors for the scoop. I don't know if I've known of any other games where they've done something big like that, but that's pretty impressive. I mean, to go back and design redesign something because there's an issue or send out a fix, like, I can appreciate that. I mean, these aren't cheap games. And when somebody does that, it's cool. Or at least put out a tutorial or an instructional video on how to fix something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if everybody's having the same problem, you know, they got resources, they got cameras, they got stuff. They have the tech school, the Stern tech stuff. Just put out a video, and they did a video for the fix for X-Men. So they're addressing this stuff, but I think you're right. I think, it's not one thing. It's several things coming together.
Yeah.
And then when you get enough people saying, oh, I'm pissed off, I wish I wouldn't have got this, or this is messed up, you need to fix it. Other people look at that and they get together under a common cause, and they're like, yeah, we're going to champion
this. There's been this thing for a long time in the hobby, and just taking pricing, price increases and pricing out of
that
it.
Price increases make it all worse. The more you spend, the more people expect perfection.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's been this thing with Stern for a long time where they're screwing us, and these games should be better. The
mentality.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I paid a lot of money for this, and the game should be flawless, and there shouldn't be any problems. And, you know, these things are pretty intricate. And when they prototype the games, they send the parts out to a manufacturer to mass produce them, right?
Yeah.
So probably the samples came back good. That happens on a lot of this.
Yeah, you lose control. That's Jack Danger even said that. He said, hey, building a prototype game and getting it to shoot perfectly, he said, yeah, that's manageable. Mass producing that same thing and getting it to shoot the way it's supposed
crazy
to shoot.
Crazy hard.
Crazy hard.
And a lot of people make the cargument where it's like, well, this doesn't happen in the automotive industry. I've been in the automotive industry for 20 years.
Yeah.
This happens constantly in the automotive industry. There will be a...
Look at recalls.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There'll be a VIN run of cars that has a major issue, you know, an engine issue. Toyota's got one right now on the twin turbo Tundras.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I always wanted a Tundra. And I'm like, oh,
massive
recall.
Massive engine recall. Yeah. I mean, so this
but it's how do they handle it? That's what, to me, nobody wants something that is going to be difficult. But, you know, when somebody tells you, oh, you know, that's just the way the car's designed and those are going to, you're going to have to replace them. Like that to me bothers me. But when somebody's like, hey, we identified a problem, we got a fix for it, bring it in. It's not going to cost you a dime.
Of course. Right. And Stern, you know, I think for the most part, granted, there's been some stories over the years where it's like maybe somebody had a playfield issue or something and Stern was, you know, maybe they sent him a blank or whatever.
The striping on the artwork.
Striping on the artwork.
I'm like, I've seen it a little bit, but I'm like, if I look at it from a specific angle, I can see it. But most of the time I don't see it.
There's some nitpicky stuff.
And I'm just going
to
play.
And of course, you know, not to get back into clear coat gate.
No, bring it back up. I want that to come back. No,
I'm going
to
keep it short because that was exhausting after a while. I mean, but the you know, there is no doubt that the 90s clear coat was bad. I don't care what anybody says, but
it was destroying the planet like one play field at a time, right? But that stuff, they can't use the chemicals that are, that's my understanding, is the diamond plate, which everybody is like, dude, this thing's awesome. It doesn't dimple. It lasts forever. But apparently pretty nasty stuff.
Right. I have no idea what the chemical composition of this stuff
was. I don't think anybody does anymore.
Yeah. You know, they can't even figure out what the whitewater topper was made out of, that tinfoil stuff. Like, apparently it was like some type of space age material. Some dude showed up to Williams and sold them to make that thing.
Yeah.
There's some dude on Pennside that's went down this crazy rabbit hole trying to create it. I mean, it's insane the stuff they had. But long story short, the you know, or clear isn't as good as it used to be.
But no.
These manufacturers have done a good job of identifying where the trouble spots are.
Right.
Not putting artwork around Poe, Stern. If you really look, you know, they're doing.
I don't mind that. I'm like, good. I'd rather that issue be addressed than have a problem.
Right. So I think all things considered, and I'm not trying to shill Stern. I mean, I've had problems with their products, but they've always been pretty minimal and I could take care of them.
Yeah.
The issue like you're talking about is, okay, you buy a Tundra and the motor explodes and you take, there's a dealership probably near your town or where you live, you drop it off, they fix it and you get it back.
Yeah.
There's no close dealer networks for pinball machines and not enough to service the customer.
No, and shipping is extremely expensive. It's somebody's trying to problem solve what might be somewhat isolated issue until it becomes a big thing remotely. And it's like, what makes sense? What do we do? Do we send a populated play field out? You know, how are we going to get that one back? How much is that going to cost us?
Yeah.
Is this something we did? Is this something that is a recurring issue? Like, and you have different levels of it.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things that I found was like, you can push so far. And this one shocked me when I lived in California. I used to surf a whole bunch. I've made a couple surfboards for myself and some friends, and Clark Foam sold 95% of the surfboard blanks.
Okay.
And the EPA got really, really tight in California and started cracking down and made it to the point where like the foam, the polystyrene, I think it's polystyrene. But the foam that they were using to shape all the surfboards with, basically they made it where it was almost impossible for him to make blanks anymore. Mm. And you know what he did? He said, screw it. I'm done.
Wow.
He closed his business.
Wow.
95% of the surfboard blanks for the world disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there was a void.
Oregon or something?
No, he was done. He's a little older.
Oh, okay.
But then all these companies had to like step in and figure out how to do it and adhere to the law, the rules on making the foam. And like some of them went out of the country and like, but it was crazy because, you know, that was like an extreme example of like everybody, you know, he was getting so much heat. He just completely was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And not that I'm saying Stern, whatever, just be like, hey, we're done with pinball. No, they're, you know, they're selling lots of games. They're doing well, but at the same time, you know, you want to be reasonable about what you're bringing to the table. Cause you know, I work in sales. I've been in sales a long time and you know, it's managing expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You need to manage expectations.
Yeah. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for bringing Kyle Spiteri in for that tech school.
Yeah.
I mean, those videos, high quality, very informative.
They're done right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, really at some level on some of the basic stuff, they're doing the industry a service, you know, even if it's
up
like,
in the game, man.
Yeah.
They're up in the game. They're going to force some of these other manufacturers to start doing the same things. And, you know, like, hey, you want to differentiate yourself, do tech school stuff,
right?
Do this, you know, go the extra mile, include some extra stuff. Like even Jaws, like I bought a premium, you know, and it came with like, the protective rails instead of the standard ones. Almost like the lollipop rails.
Yeah, I think it's...
And I'm like, it's cool. You're throwing a little extra in there, too, because you're
listening. That costs next to nothing to add that little triangle.
Right, that's something I look at because, you know, I play a lot. I slap my games around. I don't wear a ring because I don't want to chip my games.
Right.
But, you know, I've gotten some games in, and, like, the stuff's wearing off, and I'm like, man, that would have been cool to have some...
Oh, yeah, and it's great for operators, too, because, you know...
The kids.
Well, not only that, just... You know, once your game gets 50,000 plays on it, I don't care how good your cabinet decal is, it's probably gonna, you know, it's gonna lose that.
Unless it's color. A game from Troy, which has 30,000 plays on it and still looks brand new.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know how he does that.
I don't know what he's doing to these things, but
he's rubbing them with a diaper when everyone leaves. Is like, look, it's sparkly. I can see my reflection.
He's like, constantly. I'm surprised he didn't have like the little Mylar cutouts over it. You know, those were. The thing, but I go back to the 90s Williams stuff, and I have now, granted, I don't know how many plays were on some of these games that I've owned, but I've stripped a lot of them, and I've had chipping in places on Williams games. I mean, it's not like it didn't happen.
There was no internet to complain about it.
Right.
So it was like one guy told another guy, and then if that guy knew someone, he told someone else.
Yeah, now granted, I don't think it had a million plays on it, but it probably had a lot of plays on it. And under a plastic somewhere, sticking out in a spot when I tear it down. Oh, there's...
People forget these inserts crack and they wear. the paint wears off the insert. That drives me nuts more than like, right. I mean, chipping and pooling, like that drives me nuts. Cause I know it's going to get worse on some of those older games. Like my OCD kills me a little bit. I'm like, okay, I can deal with a little bit. Like my Adams family had it, but you know, when you get to games and it's half, the paint's half worn off and you can see the edge, that bothers me. So it's like the old games weren't perfect either. I mean,
even diamond plate couldn't hold up forever.
Right.
You know, and there's certain games that had diamond plate that I don't think, I mean, it's hard to find a great example of a getaway or an old Adams family that the insert mansion inserts aren't worn, or the getaway around the RPM. I mean, like, you know, the diamond plate couldn't hold up forever, ever either. And really with the type of ownership that's taking place now in the home, they're never going to see the type of abuse they did before.
That it gets on location.
So the other point with, you know, not having a local dealer that's going to service your pinball machine, you have to understand when you buy these that, you know, you're going to probably have to do some of this stuff yourself at some point. But if you have
you can save yourself a lot of money if you start
figuring
out how to work on stuff.
But in the case you bought a new game and you had a major issue that they couldn't sort out over the phone, you were just at your wit's end on, hopefully you bought it from a killer dealer, because the really good dealers will identify that and go, you know what, this is clearly a big issue. I'll step in here and do something.
And when you get distributors going back to Stern going, hey, I'm getting a lot of these.
Right.
Then it's like it carries a little bit more weight than one person.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I've seen Zach at flipping out, and this podcast is not sponsored. I used to do.
I don't have any sponsors.
I used to do a show.
I'm sponsored by the people.
You know, we buy our games from Zach. You know, Zach does sponsor other podcasts. This one happens to not be. I used to do a show on TPN for a little bit, a couple episodes, but I can tell you from personal experience, I've seen him do things that other dealers would never do. And it's that level of, you want that level of customer service with the cost of the purchase of these things. And in the case that maybe you did get a lemon. I mean, it happens in anything. Yeah. There's people that unbox a brand new PS5 and there is a certain percentage.
I took my first Xbox back because it overheated.
Yeah.
An hour out of the box, I was playing it overheated and it shut down.
There's a certain percentage in manufacturing that they know are going to be lemons. Yeah. It's just part of it. I mean, I unboxed a brand new Samsung TV about a year or two ago and it had a big spot and the box wasn't damaged anything. It was just a defect.
I mean, now it's not the same as selling pinball machines, but when I'm selling mods and somebody has an issue or a problem with a mod, I had one mod I took off of the plate before it was fully cooled. And I flexed the plate to pop the, like I usually do, but it was still a little warm. So it came off just a tiny bit bowed. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch it,
right?
I didn't see it.
Right.
I shipped it out and the guy's like, hey, I can't get the bolts in. And I was like, hey, send me a picture from the front. And he sent it to me. I could see a little curve.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I did two things. I opened up the bolt holes on that as a result of that one customer. Mm-hmm. On all the ones going forward.
Right.
I actually threw away all the base plates that I had, like 30 I had printed. They were about an hour apiece just for the base plate. I tossed them because I realized you need a little more wiggle room in there. And two, it needs to completely cool before I take it off the plate.
Right.
And you know what I told the guy? I said, hey, you know, he said, I took the base plate off, everything else working fine. I'm like, okay, I'm going to send you a whole new one. So now you have a backup too.
Sure.
So it's like, not just fix the problem, but you know, like, hey, thanks for this. I made some adjustments, you know, to do this. And I mean, I'm small time mod maker,
right?
But when it comes to that stuff, I don't want people upset. I don't want people pissed off. I would have, you know, I would much rather give somebody their money back than have them be upset.
Right.
And you know what? Honestly, there's been times where I'm like, you know, when something came up and somebody's like, hey, I ordered the wrong thing. And I'm like, or, you know, I was thinking about getting this. And I'm like, just keep it, man. If you know somebody that has that game, give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Blasting your customers, and I'm not going to reference a situation you guys probably all know about with things that happened a couple years ago and play you know where I'm going, but there was some pinning that on customers, which was absolutely, in my opinion,
that was
not the way to do it.
Yeah.
And that affected my opinion on who I'm going to buy stuff from.
Sure.
Dramatically, because it's a lot of money, and if I'm going to buy something and that's the kind of service I'm going to get, I'll find it somewhere else. And if I can't find it, then yeah. you know, then I have to make some tough choices.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I guess, you know, to wrap up that first portion.
We're on the first question still.
Yeah. You know, 25 X-Men,
minutes in.
Guy, yeah. Look, these games are crazy expensive. I can understand.
And to be clear, neither you nor I own an X-Men. We both want to get time on it.
Yeah.
So somebody who's got it in the home has probably seen this stuff consistently. So we do understand, you know, we haven't owned this game. So
I get it.
I get the frustration.
I will put myself in your position a little bit because with the Rush had to have a kid on the Scoops.
Yeah.
I bought an LE and a Pro.
Yeah.
Pro for route and LE for home. And I watched my Scoops deteriorate. Like the one on location was getting just bashed in.
Yeah.
And so like I put some Mylar on it and I'm like, I trimmed it and then, you know, Ninja Camp and some people came out with some stuff. And
a really thin carbon thing.
Right.
That was pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to buy the game so I could buy that sweet Scoop cover.
So in the Pro one, I tossed it in, and then the LE, I wasn't playing it as much because I was like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And Stern was like, hey, we're going to come out with something to address this. And Borg did a video about it and everything. And so I know where you're at with some of these mechanical things. I will say, like, we have a premium on location in Asheville at level 256. And I think the game plays great. Like, I do see.
I enjoyed it.
The auto plunge, you know, not make it around. Yeah. It's, I get that. And Avengers had that same thing on some examples.
Oh,
and,
hell, Iron Maiden has it.
Yeah.
Dude, Ben, TV Ben dialed in my, like, we passed that thing around. It's been in the hands of a bunch of people, and it's made its way back, and now it's in Tennessee with my sister. But, dude, Ben dialed in that loop with the plunge, and, man, that thing is, like, every time I play it, I'm like, I say thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Because when that thing doesn't work and it just bricks off that post, it sucks. But he got it dialed in, man. But these things happen, you know?
They happen, and, I don't want to discourage anybody by saying, like, look, I don't think it's as big of a deal as, you know, my playfield could have chipped to pieces because that Scoop thing was wrong.
Yeah, that's a big deal because that's a playfield swap. That's a new playfield if you can get one.
Right.
Like, and it's a lot of money.
Yeah. So I think the identifying thing here is there's a lot of little things. Like when the hand hits the ramp, sometimes it throws it down the middle.
Yeah.
Adams doesn't do that at 250. I mean, if it does, like a little nudge, like, you know, I could see it coming, a little nudge, and it seems to be fine. Like,
yeah.
To me, a lot of these things weren't major issues, you know.
Yeah.
And Stern's already, they're listening to the feedback. And that's
which is good. That's all I care about. Listen to the feedback and do something.
That's
about
as much as you can do. Now, separating those physical aspects that I think Stern's going to take care of and the games can be dialed in.
Yeah.
The code is another aspect that this game did get bumped up and it is short on code. And I think people are more worried that is this thing going to get fleshed out in a way that's enjoyable long term?
I think it will.
It might.
I mean, look. I think it will, but the more games that start getting put out, it starts pulling people in different directions. And if Metallica Remastered needs code updates or Dungeons and Dragons needs code updates.
Metallica is going to be fine. It's already like 9.5.
Yeah, I mean, they've got tons of time to get that where it needs to be. But.
You know, Raymond will take care of that.
Yeah.
I've got full faith in him. What we have is, you know, I don't know that Wason has been lead on a cornerstone.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, you know, let's see what happens. I really hope he pulls it off and it's amazing because, for one, all the owners are going to be thrilled. And people that sold, the people that stayed in are going to be like, told you, you know, it's going to.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, even Bond right now, Bond went back up a little bit. It was really low for a while.
It
went back
some.
Up a little. It recovered some, but I think it just became too long. And, you know, a game like X-Men, you know, if they throw some time and energy into the code and get it where it needs to be, I think you will start. Like, I saw a Pro today for sale for $6,000.
Yeah.
I saw one, I think, for $59.50.
The layout's definitely helping it.
Yeah.
But the problem is a game like Wick, who's still struggling on code, that game is probably not going to have a tail.
Wick feels a little left behind everything that's out right now.
I don't think they'll ever recover the tail of that game. It's not going to be like Deadpool or Stranger Things or some of the
Ghostbusters.
Other, you know, And yeah, like it's just not Ghostbusters. The theme carries it along, but Wick's going to struggle on the back end. And I, you know,
plus there's no guns on the playfield. I mean,
right. I think Bond had a little bit of a tail
sorry, I had to throw
around the holidays because people realize, okay, it's really good now. I'll grab one.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to sell a lot of Bonds after the fact.
Yeah.
I think it went too long. It went too long. Wick's going too long.
I think Stern's learning from that. And I think we're in a position where like some of these games that need a little more attention, I think they'll probably get them unless there's something in the pipeline that's just like a juggernaut and they're like, oh,
Wick still has a window to save this because the layout's unique enough.
Yeah.
People like Jack and stuff, but the window is shrinking because if Harry Potter drops or if, you know, Kong drops the next Elwynn game and people can see the vision he has for that game.
Yeah.
Your window just shrinks.
And then I'm over there going, hey, I got money. I'll take one of those. The code's fleshed out now. Okay, I'll take one of those. And you can get some great deals on it. So
it could totally happen.
You know, but if you already own the game, people get frustrated.
That's X-Men.
That's X-Men. That's 30, X-Men, yeah. 31 minutes in. All right, so I got a couple other things here, and we'll go through these pretty quick. So, you know, you and I talk a lot. You're playing games. You tell me how you do on some of these games when you beat games. And, you know, some of the games you've beat are pretty insane. So what's your strategy when you get a game? Let's say you unbox a new game. Let's say you've never played it before. You take Turtles out of the box. All right. Yeah. I'm just gonna start with Turtles cause it's sitting over there. You take Turtles out of the box. Where do you set it up? What are you doing with the tilt?
Loose tilt, depends on the game. Usually loose tilt. I don't touch the outlanes.
Yeah,
I usually pitch it about 6-7, 6-8, and I don't look at anything online. I don't look at any videos, anything like that. If I can absolutely help it, but I consume so much content, sometimes I run across stuff anyway. Yeah. But and then I just play it. I just find where the shots are. Oh, okay, that's cool. You know, and I'll mess around with it.
Yeah,
and then I'll basically go, once I kind of have a general idea of how to progress through the modes or whatever it is in the game, then I start honing in on what's the safest path to get through this part.
Yeah.
My whole thing is like, if I'm just trying to get to a wizard mode, which is pretty much what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm
like, not a score guy. I'm a modes guy.
You know, Turtles, I treat that like Black Knight. Like I'm going to backhand both ramps all the time. control, post-transfer, backhand.
I had to slow that damn game down.
Yeah.
It'll eat you alive if you ramp it up and you start hitting turbo mode on. Oh my God.
I don't have the reflexes.
Dude, four, you hit four loops. I've hit three. I hit the fourth one. It was gone before I even saw it.
So I'm looking at where do the extra balls come from?
Yeah.
What's the safest path through here? You know, like, Dwight adds a lot of stuff to the margins.
Yeah.
Like, take Star Wars or Turtles or Mandalorian. Mandalorian's a dangerous game, too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I want to get through that game, I ignore that stuff. I ignore the hurry-ups. I'm not even looking at them.
Yeah.
I don't care what it does or what
it's hard for me to do that. Like, I do that. Something lights up and April's flashing over. She's like, there's a cat stuck in a tree. Yeah. I'm like, I'll save that damn cat for a million points.
Yeah. See ya.
I ignore some stuff in games and I feel bad when I do it. But it if you have a goal in mind, it's like there's not always that. Sometimes that's the best path. You ignore some of the other stuff.
You take Jurassic, for instance, like.
Dude, I can get through that map if I'm like, I don't care about anything. I'm not playing T-Rex. I just want to catch dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Tough ones, I'll bring a multi-ball in.
The only thing I'll say about Jurassic, this is what's so great, you know, that's why I think it's such a great game too, is the decisions to not stay safe are sometimes enticing enough.
Yeah.
Like T-Rex, that's an extra ball.
You go for the right ramp, you hit the post and it goes down the lane or in the out lane, or you're like, son of a bitch, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but
that was me on Turtles.
If you're rolling through that map and T-Rex is there and you're like, I'm on ball one, I mean, you know, that's another extra ball.
Let's go get T-Rex.
Yeah, so like that, really great games make players like me or any player make decisions that they entice you enough.
Sometimes bad decisions.
Yeah, sometimes bad decisions that blow up epically in your face. Before we were recording, I was playing Twilight Zone and I had the Powerball out.
I'm going to give Powerball. Should I put it in here so I get double jackpot? And then you did it, and then you got obliterated right after,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I did get the double jackpot, yeah. But... Yeah.
$150 million. I looked over, I was like, damn.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, that's one of those things where it's like, okay, to be safe,
yeah,
just put the Powerball back up, and let's just keep flowing through the game.
You asked me. And I was like, I don't think I gave you any advice.
No.
I was like, nah, I do.
And then I was
you.
Like, I don't, you know, I played this game a million times.
I'm not
going to
be responsible for what you did.
Yeah, I played it a million times. I want to get the stupid Powerball jackpot in the regular multi-ball. So, yeah, great games give you those moments where you're like, you know, maybe like Walking Dead does it with like, oh, I'm pretty close to Bloodbath, but do I
want Will Walker. Yeah. Maybe I should start Will Walker. It's right there. Just one more shot.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
Right. But it would help you. It would benefit you greatly.
If
you got it.
Yeah.
And that's...
There's a reward. When you go for that stuff and there's no real benefit to it, that's the shit I ignore.
Exactly.
I'm like, I ain't playing that.
That's why some of the hurry-ups and some of the other things going on in the margins, if it's really not doing much for me or it's not meaningful to the progression, I'm just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, Jurassic, I'm going to look at the map and I'm like, I'm going to take the left path. For me, I think the left path's easier.
Yeah.
And I'll go that route.
I get it. You're going after all the herbivores. I got it. You know, slow dinos.
Yep. Slow ones. Easy peasy.
Hey, man.
Visitor center. Yeah. And I'm preserving, you know, honestly, the thing about that game is it's such a shooter's game. The multi-balls really don't benefit my progression through.
Right. Unless you're trying to catch a dino that's really tough and you bring the multi-ball in. And again, if you get lucky on the shot, sometimes it's not worth it because there's too much chaos.
Like when I play that game, typically I won't even have outside of the T-Rex, right? Because you just, you're going to start that regardless, just hitting.
I'm going to play that. I want that extra ball.
Right. But you know, the first T-Rex multi-ball.
Oh, the multi-ball. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that you're going to get that one right.
Yeah.
I've played many games where I made it all the way to Visitor Center, and I have not played Raptor.
Right.
I've not played Chaos.
Yep.
Because...
And I'm like, I don't care. Let's see what we can do. Let's see if I can get control room modes taken care of. And then I'm usually like, oh, is it Museum Mayhem that you got to do the T-Rex modes for?
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, shit. But I'm only on the second one now. I got to get two more.
If you're thinking about progression...
Yeah.
So why not save some of those? I know you could go back around, but it would take longer to get it back.
Yeah.
But, you know, by that point, you've probably held off. Chaos is lit, but maybe you've avoided it, right? Use that in the T-Rex mode because you're having to shoot that truck for the T-Rex mode.
Yeah.
Now, you would have to already be in the T-Rex mode and bring it in, but...
Get that long running ball save too, man. Yeah. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
so I love it when I stack stuff and you're like, oh, ball save ran for like 45
that's
seconds.
That's what I'm thinking about is like, you know, what is the safest path? I mean, even Valinor, like, you know, I'm not going to risk playing dangerously in there and back again.
Yeah.
Once I got it, I got it. You know,
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and if I've already beat a multi ball, I'll just let them drain out, you know, like what's the next thing I really need to do. So yeah, it's really just thinking about what's the safest way to get through these modes or whatever it is, whatever the requirements are.
Yeah.
And staying the path.
I'll tell you, I'm that guy. I pull the glass off. I mean, that is how I learn. I pull the glass off and I won't spoil any wizard modes or anything, but I will take the ball out there. Sometimes I'll hold the flipper button for like a minute. I don't want to hold it too long, but sometimes I'll hold the flipper button for like a minute and I'm in there, I'm hitting switches. Like, okay, how do you queue up Fish Finder? Okay. When I do this, okay, on the second time, it takes this many times.
Right.
Like, and then I start going, okay, I'm on the third one. So now I know what to expect. I start learning, you know, what do you do in this mode? You know, cause I used to just go and play and I'm like, I'll learn over time. Like Pulp Fiction, because it doesn't tell you what to do,
right,
has been really good for me because I'm actually paying attention to what's going on with inserts.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's how you ramp up the multipliers. That's how you do this. That's how you start this mode. That's how you collect the characters. I figured you could only collect one at a time. No, if you get the ball in the scoop in the back five times and you just hit one shot to collect characters, you collect everybody at once.
Right.
You know, so it's teaching me because there's no screen telling you what to do.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. But
yeah, it is cool. Yeah. Game's awesome.
With that in mind and setting up games, you know, and you know, you always used to say this too, is like, you know, if you find the games a little too easy, then ramp it up a little bit, tighten the tilt a little bit.
Right.
And I say this all the time, you know, if you're newer to pinball and you want to learn how to nudge, because I can tell you, nudging and kind of slapping the game a little bit for me makes the biggest difference in being able to keep that ball in play.
Yes.
It's huge. Yeah. And I don't take the tilt bob out. I put it in there, but it is low.
Yeah.
And then if I find myself throwing, like Turtles was a tough game. Turtles is really loose. I mean, it's loose. It's close to, there's a little bit in there, but it's about to fall off. You know, for that game, you know, it's fair. And, you know, I told you, I got to Final Battle twice last night, two games in a row.
Yeah. That's,
which I'd never gotten there. That's eight modes to get to Final Battle.
Yeah.
And put almost 150 GC on that thing. And I'm like, okay, the tilt's a little loose. So, like, you know, the question is if I'm going to keep the game and keep playing,
up it,
I'll up the tilt. Yeah. I'll make it a little tighter. But I am proud of this. No death saves last night at all. None. I did all that with no death saves. No. I kept thinking Izzy's going to be pissed if I death save this. You know?
Yeah, the other part of that, you asked me, like, when I unboxed them, where I set it. So, to your point, I like to leave it low while I'm learning the geometry of the game, because every game kind of has a spot where the ball will typically ricochet, go towards an out lane, or you get these bad side-to-side motions.
Jaws.
And I'm learning, okay, if I nudge at this time, I can usually avoid that death trap.
Except for the left out lane on Labyrinth.
Don't even.
We'll do an episode on Labyrinth.
Yeah, we'll do
an
episode on Labyrinth at some point. But yeah, and then once I get really good at forward nudges, right? So, you know, really forward nudges, light nudges shouldn't really give you a lot of tilt dangers. Yeah. So I go ahead and up the ball.
I'm a slapper.
Down the middle is getting slapped. But yeah.
I do the double slap. I try and get it enough so it stops.
I raise it up enough to where, you know, a big side-to-side motion, I'm going to take a double.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm progressing further and further into the game. If it's a game that I bought because I just wanted to blow through it and experience it, I'm not going to run it crazy tight. You know, like, I have no interest in it. I bought it to play it and experience it. It's not a dream theme or anything.
Apparently the dog's pissed. Sorry.
But, yeah, so I'm always... The Stern games and the jersey, you know, most
6-7, 6-8. I set them at 6-7, 6-8. I've left the out lanes alone. I leave them the way they come for a while unless I feel it's really unfair. Sorry, they're getting out of the car right now, so they should be in the house and that should stop soon. But yeah, I'm like 6-7, 6-8, and I set the tilt pretty loose, and then I'll go from there as like a starting point. You know, don't. You can set your game up at 7 with a really tight tilt if you want. Like, I'm like, that's tournament player stuff to me.
I mean, if you're really good, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Your game. Do whatever you want to set it at mediocre. 5.5. You're going to be, there's going to be rainbows everywhere.
Right.
But if that's what you like, you want to put it on 5-ball, do it. But
I don't think it diminishes anything, you know, because I, getting to these things, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You know, like with a medium tilt, stock settings, stock out lanes.
I was ready to throw Turtles out the window the other night.
Yeah, I'm struggling to get there.
Yeah.
You know, like Escape Nublar was, I probably put more games on Jurassic than almost any game I've ever owned.
Yeah.
Because it was so difficult for me to do that. Now, Carl, you know, he gets every
Mr.
fossil.
D'Angelo.
Yeah, like does everything. You know, for me, it was a struggle to escape Nublar. Legitimately with, you know, a medium setting, stock out lanes. No, you know, no goofing around with, like, extra balls and stuff. But also, too, like we've talked on the last podcast, don't be afraid to do those things.
Yeah.
You know, if it makes the game more enjoyable for you. But I don't want to make it too easy. I want it to be a battle to finish it. But, yeah, that's kind of my take on it. Unbox it, 6-7, 6-8. Leave it a little bit loose. Learn the game. Learn to nudge it. Where's the spots? You know, you need to be beyond it. And then if I'm going visitor center every single time, and I'm you know, I'm only
maybe toughen it up a little bit.
Just I'll run the tilt up. That's usually perfect.
Yeah,
good to go.
That's it. On the heels of that, give me your top five toughest games. I want to know which games just put you through the ringer, man.
You know, Turtles Premium, when I got it, was, like, as I got it when it came out, that one, it really challenged me. I mean, it just so fast. I mean, it was just so ridiculously fast. I think I've become a little bit of a better player since then. Not much. I kind of plateaued at some point.
Labyrinth, Walking Dead, and Turtles in the house at the same time. I walk over to Jurassic Park or I walk over to Jaws and I start a game and I'm like, cool, let's go.
Right.
I played one game the other night and I was like, all right, Izzy, I've been playing Labyrinth on stream. And I was talking to him and I was like, hey, I'm going to play one game of Jaws. I'm like, you got a prediction on score? I'll text you later. Right. And he's like, 371 million and one shark. And I played one game. I actually told him I was going to play two. I ended up playing one because I ended up with 850 and one shark. But I was like, that is a fantastic score on Jaws for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Izzy's got like 6 billion on Jaws. Crazy. He just picks the scores apart. But all right, what other games?
Yeah, you know, Walking Dead, definitely. Some of these I'm almost like, yeah, they're tough but fair. Walking Dead.
Walking Dead's tough but fair.
Yeah, you know, Black Knight can be pretty mean.
Yep.
Sword of Rage. I'm trying to think any other ones I've owned that were just ridiculously brutal. I'm getting there. I'm going through the ones that I still like. Really, you know, it was tough, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
like back and forth.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to think.
So you got Turtles, Walking Dead.
What else in the Stern catalog is even considered like difficult?
Black Knight, Sword of Rage. Those to me are really some of the toughest ones.
Yeah, I mean,
Star Wars isn't difficult. It's just super fast.
Yeah, I tell you, I suck at Star Wars.
What about Ghostbusters?
I got it really early, so it was brutal when I had it. I was pretty...
Oh, I looped that ramp shot. I had 14 loops on that ramp shot.
Yeah.
But some of those other shots, man, the scoop, getting in the scoop right when you need to be there.
Jesus.
When you're trying to hit the gozer shot straight up the middle and you know if it doesn't go into the pops, you're screwed. Yeah. You better be on it. And the flippers. Yeah. Short flippers?
Yeah, you're right. Go.
Or not short flippers, but the gap.
I would say, depending on where I was as a player, because Ghostbusters was pretty, you know, fairly, it was the first new in box I got.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters was very difficult for me as like a first newer game. Turtles really challenged me. Black Knight wasn't a super challenge, but it could be brutal.
Yeah.
You know, which
I enjoyed that game. It was fun. I had more fun on that. Like, I thought it was just going to rip me to pieces. But I got used to it and I enjoyed it. I had the premium too, so I got a little breather when I got on the upper playfield.
Yeah, I had a pro, and it was like, it's relentless.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which I kind of liked.
And you got Scott Ian from Anthrax just wailing away on the guitar the whole time, and you're just like, dude, I feel like this is like it's going down right now.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was all Scott Ian. I think Brendan Small also did some stuff on it. But yeah, you know those.
Was it Scott Ian? That's his name, right? From Anthrax.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
I think so. You know, most of the older games are fairly balanced. I mean, there are some brutal ones in there that I've had, but nothing that sticks out that was just like, you know, God, man, this thing is just a kicker. Yeah. For some reason, man.
We'll go into it another episode.
Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and say it, but I mean, like, Labyrinth was really, really challenging. I mean, for one, the game that left Outland, which if you watched any of Craig's streams, you won't see it on Carl's stream for some reason.
The good news is I showed you guys like 80 games of Labyrinth over like 3 streams.
You know, the shots can be tight. I even tried to open up some of the stuff a little bit and move some things just to help it flow a little better because, I mean, you'll get some rattle entrances that are deaf. The combination of some slightly tighter shots with the left out lane, and that game was kryptonite for me, and it
was tough for me. I felt like I couldn't play pinball.
I mean,
I jacked that thing up. I actually, because it was a little floaty in the bottom part, so I jacked it up to about 7. I put it about 7. I had it like 6-7.
Yeah,
and I put it up to 7, and that helped with some of the floatiness. But it didn't make the game any easier. It didn't really change the dynamics. I mean, that upper slingshot kicking the ball in the towards the left out lane, you know, you leave that flipper up, it's either going in the scoop or the left out lane. Like, it's just, everything was dangerous. The only shot I could consistently hit on that game was a left ramp.
Correct.
I could hit that thing and I'm like, hey, I need to get this ball to the left side of the play field. Yeah. Like, it's really hard to post pass on this game.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm just going for that ramp. I just need to feed it over there. And man, whew, that game, that tested my patience. There's been a lot of bad language that's come out of me because of that game.
The left ramp is probably the only bailout shot on the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unusual. I don't know if other examples are different. Well, I've played probably three and they're all about that. So yeah. I think that's just it. You know, Houdini had a lot of tight shots. That's another one. I never owned one, but I played it on location a good bit. It's just tight shots. I mean, it's really hard. You know, you're just constantly bricking an entrance, you know, trying to get somewhere. I wouldn't say all of Labyrinth shots are quite as tight as some of Houdini shots.
Yeah.
But man, there's just something about it that there's times on Labyrinth where you will rip every shot on it, boom, 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 and then immediately after you cannot.
You got two left hands.
Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't. It's yeah. The game is a bit of an anomaly. If you're looking for a challenge, by all means,
buy that game.
Yeah, it really will.
Good luck into the Wizard mode.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to Goblin City on a decent game, but Wizard mode.
Yeah, I mean, and you'll read it in some of the threads and comments. There was a guy that's like, he'd beat Godzilla. He'd gotten through a lot of the Stern stuff, and he was like, I'm getting nowhere.
Yeah.
And
Carl struggled with it a little bit, didn't he?
And I thought that was going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because he was also chasing score as he was doing it. And I was like, well, if I play it safe, like, I can.
He got Pulp Fiction. He's like, I want to try and roll this thing on ball one.
Yeah. God, yeah. But I was like, surely, you know, this will be a really killer challenge. Because I could tell it was a challenge for Carl, but he was also taking some risk with scoring.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this, you know, so I waited and got it. And I was like, holy crap, man, this. I mean, it's no joke. I mean, it's a tough game.
I'm glad I got time on it. You know, I probably would never have got time on it unless you loaned it to me. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It was fun. And now I know you know what? That game realigned my perception. You know, I always like it when things realign your perception on what's hard or what's difficult. And, you know, Walking Dead was up there. Turtles was up there. You know, I had TNA, you know, it's manageable, right?
Yeah.
I got that. I'm like, dude, this realigned my perception of what's difficult. This is tough. It's to get to Jareth is.
It's a mountain.
A mountain.
Yeah.
It is. It's not climbing Mount Everest. It's climbing K2 in the middle of winter. Like it's up there, man.
Yeah, it's up there. But with that being said, I mean, you know, the theme integration, the way it's presented, how it presents the film is very well done.
Yeah. It's
a gorgeous game.
I want to be better at it.
Yeah. Yeah. The powder coat is super nice. Yeah. I mean, there's so many good.
I'm usually not a brown powder coat is usually not my thing, but it looks perfect on that game.
Great. You know, all the topper, I mean, everything about it.
And a very great game for the very first, very good game for the first game for Barrels of Fun.
Yeah.
Like they did a really good job. There's some little tweaks in there, little things that I'm like, yeah, you know, this is something, you know, I would tweak this, but it's just little, it's little things. It's not a major thing that, you know.
Yeah. It's nothing that they cannot fix.
Right. And I think their next game, I'm interested to see what their next game is going to be and what they do with it.
Yeah. I can't wait. I hope it's a Texas.
Me too.
I heard that it should be there. So we'll see. But I have high hopes because the overall build quality of the game was very good.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed how much they put into, you know, that world.
Yeah.
It is.
You feel like you're in that world. You want to play through those modes. You're in it.
And when you're doing really well,
it does
pull you in.
Yeah.
But man, if you're not doing well or you're struggling a little bit, you're on your heels. And
I broke 100 million in the last stream that I had, and I was so happy about that. And then I looked on the screen and I saw that you got 112 million in one mode. I was like, whatever, dude.
That right now in my mind, that one sticks out. Is
really I'm with you on that. That's the roughest game I've ever played. All right. Real quick, where are we at? We're at 54 minutes, so we'll get cruising through some of this. Real quick, rattle off pinball pet peeves. I have mine. You have yours. In a game, when they design it, pet peeves.
In the design area, I would say crappy plunges. I hate, you know, really just uneventful.
The Guns N' Roses plunge,
which is very similar to me. To Twilight Zone in some ways with that weak spring.
You can't buy a spring that's weak enough to actually hit the skill shot in the lane and like light extra ball. It's so hard. Like I've resorted to tapping it, tapping the plunger, not plunging it.
Crappy plunges, too many U-turn shots. Like, you know, they've done a lot of 180 ramps, you know, that's become a thing. Like a lot of 180 ramps in the last couple of years, U-turn shots. I think it's lazy. To me, it's not very fun to shoot.
That little mini circle in Deadpool, I'm like, I hit it by accident. I'm like, okay, hit the Colossus target.
It doesn't really feel like a shot. No. You know? It just kind of, you know, comes back around. Yeah.
Dead End Alley on Led Zeppelin Pro.
Dead End Shots.
Dead End Shots,
they did that on Rush Pro.
They did it on Wonka, but I didn't mind it on Wonka because it was dangerous. I mean, they do it on Jurassic Park with the control room.
So,
but it's
here's the other thing. It's a tip of the flipper shot. It's actually a difficult shot to hit.
Yeah.
Also it's feeding something that is a side kind of mission in the game.
Yeah. It's important. And like when they have stuff like that, that's not satisfying to shoot and it doesn't really do much. I'm like, just take it out of there and put a decoration.
Keith gets away with it on Jurassic Park because he stuck it to the side.
Yeah.
You know, Rush.
When you stick it in the back of the play field.
Instead of having that vertical up kick ramp like on the premium LE, you got this shitty target it hits. I get you got to save cost and stuff, but I mean, dude, it's all like, it just bricks in there and turns out.
Dude, that tiny shot on Led Zeppelin Pro that is like a dead end. Yeah. I think it's on the premium. It actually is a U-turn ramp. Correct. That shot hardly ever works. You got to hammer it perfect and it's got to go around a tight corner and then go upside down.
It's
and I'm like, whoa, I got it.
Yeah, you know. Another thing, and I know everybody loves them. It's a me thing. I hate the way they feel. I've played so much on two types of flipper rubbers.
Yeah,
it is silicone bands. I hate.
There's going to be another word in there.
Yeah, I held back on that very satisfying F word.
Yeah,
because I hate them. The only ones I like are Titan Competition bands.
Yeah.
On flip, if you want to put super bands on the rest of the game, I can live with it.
Yeah.
On the flippers, it's not on the flippers. It drives me absolutely crazy. It deadens the bounce too much. And people like them because it's easy to drop catch with them because they're sticky and, you know, they deaden the bounce.
You know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is when Matt loans me another game, I'm going to sneak super bands onto it and see how long it takes him to notice.
And I'll even go as far as I'll like get on top of the glass to see what brand it is so I can make a mental note of never buying that crap. You know, and everybody's like, well, it doesn't dirty up the play field, but you know, like no more rubber.
Clean your play field. Your game will last longer.
There's some games.
Yeah.
I will only use normal rubber.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think Jurassic Park. I never changed the rubbers. I put Titans on Turtles last night, but I was using regular rubbers on that. I don't mind them on certain games.
Certain games.
And if I don't like them, I will go to Titans.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect example. If I'm thinking that, it might be nice to have a little more control, or maybe I would like the way the ball feeds better. Yeah. I'll try
a little bit of that stickiness.
I'll try the Titans, but a lot of games, I'm like, no, I like the regular rubbers on this.
Yeah, me too.
It feels like it shoots better. Whirlwind, if you put those stupid silicone flippers on there, you can't backhand under the ramp.
Yep.
Like, just throw that shit away, please. Just get rid of it. Listen, if it's your game, you can do whatever you
want. Yeah, do whatever you want.
But oh my God, like, there's times where they're so bad, I don't even want to play the game anymore.
Right.
You know, but that I know that's probably a me thing because apparently people love them. And because I go places all the time and they're on there. So,
yeah, we were talking about this a little earlier. You mentioned super bands, you know, we also talked about horseshoes. Yes. We're kind of over horseshoes a little bit, especially when they feed directly down the drain. When you pick that shot clean, you shouldn't be punished. Labyrinth has a horseshoe that goes down the drain. You can turn the setting on for that. Rick and Morty had a horseshoe that went down the drain. What else?
Bad scoops.
Oh,
my God.
The ones that doesn't kick out. I loved Elvira, but my God, that gargoyle up kicker, that's necessary to hit the targets for things. I'm like, dude, I got right into that. I scalloped that plunger with a ball grinder that you use for jewelry. And dude, I fixed it. And I had so many people, I made a video on it. I had so many people were like, dude, this, it shoots out and it dribbles out. And then sometimes it fires across the play field. But yeah, I'm with you. The bad scoops, the bad up kickers.
Yeah. There's two things with the scoops. It's the placement on the play field where it's like constantly falling in there. And it, you know, you're waiting and you're waiting all the time. If it's satisfying to hit for some reason, or like it's in a good spot, like I get it on Godzilla, you know, it's there again, you put it off to the side. It is necessary.
Yeah.
But the ball's not typically just flying in there for no
reason.
And
I don't mind the one on that, because when it kicks out and it's at the right power level, it hits the left flipper and it rolls up the right in line.
Yeah.
And it sets you up for a shot.
Yeah, it's fine.
But, dude, Labyrinth, whew. That thing, like underneath the ramp, like it sometimes I'd hold the flipper up and sometimes it hit the flipper and it'd drop a little bit and it'd roll. And other times it'd kick it out and hit the tip of the flipper and go in the drain.
Yeah.
And then right next to that ramp kick out is a scoop, which does the same thing. And I'm like, oh my God.
The best
like,
thing is that multi ball when they fire at each other. And
oh, or the ones where I'm like trying to hit the ramp shot and then they're kicking a ball out from under the ramp. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I had the shot and the you're kicking a ball out in the way. Like,
you know. The flip side of that is they made it an up-down ramp that shot great.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. That's hard to do.
It's not like Walking Dead.
Walking Dead bicycle girl.
Yeah, she's like shit compared to the pro.
Yeah.
The left ramp on Labyrinth, it's like, man, this is like the best up-down ramp ever. It flows great.
All right, I'm going to run through. We're going to play a little game called Toppers, Buy or Pass. I'm gonna name a topper and tell me if you would buy it or pass.
At current market value?
Current market value.
Okay.
Current market value.
Thin list.
You can save some money
kidding.
Today.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. All right. Black Knight Swords of Rage. $14.99,
I think. Can I buy it used? No, I can't buy it used. I got to buy it new.
No. Here you go.
If I really liked Black Knight and wanted to keep it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When it came out, it was $450. Awesome.
Oh.
Totally worth it. It's $1,400 now.
I'll just say this: I don't think any of these toppers are worth what they're charging.
Right.
But I am a sucker. If I really love the game,
well, yours is on the list. All right, Labyrinth, $1,000. It's really well done for what you get.
Yeah.
It's still $1,000.
It's still $1,000.
What you get, it is solid.
In topper terms. Yes.
Aesthetics.
It's worth the thing. Yeah. And if you love the game, totally. Yeah, totally. That's a good one. Yeah.
You know, somebody who listens to streams will be like, hey, that guy's got a shitty fan on one of his Stern pinball machines. He should. I have 5 Pinmonk fans that are sitting in a bag right now that I bought a year ago and I haven't put them in yet. All right. Rush. It's like $1,650 or $1,700 right now.
God, I don't know. Yeah,
you have the LE.
Yeah,
you have the LE, and you own the topper.
I got it all, Craig. I bought all of it.
It's your favorite band, though.
Stern said, "Come right this way."
Yeah, come this way. This game was made for you, Matt. Yeah,
you know what's crazy was
we're gonna put gold foil graphics on it for you too.
I'll get back on task here, but we were rearranging. It lives in the living room, right?
Yeah,
that used to be my pinball room, but we, you know, my lovely girlfriend was like, I think this room would be really great as the living room. So I had to move all my pinball shit to a different room.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I was like, hey, can Rush just stay in here? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the game's beautiful. The cabinet is beautiful. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
So she was like, yeah, that's cool, you know. And because that's kind of the only room that it's kind of the movie living room, not the one we normally hang out in, but the animals don't normally come in there and stuff. So all the other games they're trash. I'm just kidding. They live where the animals go and the cat can jump on it and all that stuff. But anyway, Rush is over there. But when I was moving it, I looked at the manufacturer tag.
Yeah.
It was made on my birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, yes. And so Stern's like, give us a couple more thousand and, you know.
Exactly.
But would I buy it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Because I'm a sucker.
I laugh because I always tease Saran. Because he's a huge Rush fan. He has a Rush. He tells me, he's like, why did it happen? He doesn't like steampunk. He's like, why did it have to be steampunk? And I'm like, you can buy the topper, Greg. You can buy the topper.
Their last album was Clockwork Angels, and that was the theme. So
I always tease him, like, when we're saying something. I'm like, hey, I'm doing new artwork for my podcast. I'm like, I think I'm going with steampunk. And he's like, dude.
So the reason why I would again is because I think it may be the most well-integrated topper into a game. And it's very stupid simple how they did it. Yeah. But when you make an album combo and you collect that album, it lights.
Yeah, and you can see.
You can see it.
Yeah.
And I don't have
it's giving you information.
I don't have to go through the menu. Yeah. And then, you know, there's some mystery award stuff up there, and the gears turn and they're plastic, so whatever. But
Iron Maiden.
No.
No.
I bought Iron Maiden, and
if I were to add that to mine, I would make custom LED lights to lighten it up and make something happen up there.
They could have done so much more with the lighting on it. The little plain lights should have been more pronounced and
yeah. It looked like it was underlit. Like, why do you guys do that?
Yeah, man, I was really disappointed with that one.
Whitewater.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want that game without the topper.
No, I won't buy one without the topper.
I see it and they're like, no topper. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I love the game, and it doesn't change the gameplay, but I want the topper.
Dude,
it just looks so cool. Stranger Things. It's $700.
You know,
it looks really cool.
Yeah.
I had it, and I had the shooter, the lighted dice.
Once again, if I was keeping it, absolutely.
Yeah. It looks really cool. It's that 80s mirror with the multiple reflections looks really cool.
I think that was a really creative one.
Yeah.
It's still a light box, basically, but it's a neat one.
Everybody's losing their shit over the Jaws topper. I like the way it looked. Now, cost-wise, it's a little much, but I thought it looked good. And one of the things that I like, and TV Ben gets so pissed off about this, he said, I hate it when they make a topper and then they put the name of it on the topper right next to the back glass, which has the name on it. Right.
Well, he has to love the Metallica
one. We were talking about that. He's like, it's Metallica. And he loves Metallica.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're gonna buy the topper? And I don't know if I got an answer out of it, but he loves the band so much, but it's like his pet peeve. Yeah. So I'll have to tease the shit out of him if he ends up buying, if he gets a remastered and he gets a topper. So Jaws, I liked. It doesn't say Jaws on it. It's the Amity sign.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That makes sense.
Elvira.
Yeah.
This is a fun one. I like the gargoyles. They're pretty cool.
I thought they really... Those sculpts are some of the better... Well, it's really some of the only ones Stern has put on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're not as impressive as the Labyrinth one.
Yeah.
But I think they look really good. And there's something really cool when the lid slams down.
I like it when she screams quick. She's...
Yeah, and that lid, boom, you know.
I'm like, what broke? Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's a topper.
It's very, you know, it's very functional.
Startling. It's a little startling.
Yeah. I think the one thing is that I think when the lid opened up, instead of just her face like that, I think it could have been something a little more.
Yeah.
With that was the first big expensive one. That was the first
$1,000. And I liked it.
Yeah,
it was heavy. I was like, God, this thing's heavy.
I really like House of Horrors. I mean, we both
me too.
Said that. And
I'd love to have another one.
Once again, if it was a keeper, I would probably have it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mandalorian. Very cool, but very expensive.
No.
Yeah.
Too much.
Pulp Fiction.
Well, you can't buy that topper. You have to buy the LE to get that
That's
topper.
That's true.
So
is it worth... I like... To me... It kicks the game up a notch. In my, like, I like the neon aspect of it. Yeah. I like the cars. I like that they move. And again, people are like, they're just spinning around on a servo. But when it gets going during the game, it enhances the, to me, it enhances the multi-ball one. You know, when you start playing, what is it? Jackrabbit Slims, you know, the twist contest and they're up there and the lights are going off and the lights, like it's, I want to look at it, but I can't look away from the playfield.
So, MSRP on the SE is what, like $8,000 for Pulp Fiction? What was the LE?
95.
I think the SEs are like $8,000 or something.
Yeah, I think they're like $8,000.
Yeah. So you
got some other little stuff, but let's call the topper $1,000.
$1,000, yeah, because the mirror blades.
At $1,000.
Does this have a shaker in it? Did I couldn't remember if that
I don't know.
LEs had shakers in them.
I can't remember either. I just got the damn thing. I waited 2 years and I set it up and I just played it.
So $1,000. My girlfriend is a huge Pulp Fiction fan, and I would.
I have a feeling this thing's going to pay a visit to your house soon.
I'm waiting for you to
Get over it.
Well, I'm waiting for
till I beat it.
Goonies or like Back to the Future to come out.
Yeah, Matt's on the interested list for my pinball machine. Where I'm like, I'm caught between like, oh my god, Goonies came out and it's the perfect layout and I want it. And I'm like,
the thing about Pulp Fiction is I got first dibs.
You got first dibs on that.
I beat everyone from else
the day you helped me track that down.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I told you that's the deal.
Yeah, I like it. I think there again, if the theme calls to you, then I would want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. 007.
No.
Too plain.
Yeah.
Metallica.
No.
Foo Fighters. I feel like it was a kind of a knockoff of the Black Knight Topper.
A little bit.
It looks cool.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
You know. Once again, if any of these were like a dream theme, yeah. I would probably be the sucker to buy it. But yeah, just looking from afar and playing a lot of the games, like, yeah. no, you know, Foo Fighters, no. The 007 one, I don't know that I've ever seen it in person.
Yeah, I've seen it in person. I played a 60th that had it on there.
Okay.
And I'm like...
It just kind of light across, just the O's or whatever.
If I went and bought myself a bigger format 3D printer... I could print the light box really easily and just put one on my game. And
Yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't be integration.
Yeah.
If there's any integration on it, but I could print the light box and visually I could get it pretty close.
I've heard the Metallica one's kind of cool because as you're spelling the letters,
you see it up there.
You see it up there and the light show is supposed to be pretty good, but I feel like that game deserved better because they did such a good job on everything else.
Yeah. All right. Let's see, pinball deals. These are deals of the week. I looked at these, a little bit earlier today. So these weren't, and tell me, hey, yeah, that's a good deal or it's not. Munsters Pro, posted by Dream TR in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, Jason.
15,676 plays, $5,000.
15,000 plays? I mean, Jason owns Game Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I know he takes great care of it. Yeah, that's
that
a,
game
that's
was
a deal.
Really high for a very
it
long
was,
time.
You know, it's funny. They sold a ton of them when they first came out and then nothing. Basically.
And everybody wants a black and white premium or the LE, you know.
Right. Grand. I think that's a good deal.
I've never had that game, but I played it at a conference. I was at a work conference and someone brought a pinball machine. So, you know, I'd sneak over there every bit. I'd do a little networking and I'd play a game. Like I was in my suit and I was like, hey, did anybody level this? And they're like, no. I'm like, I'm gonna fix this for you guys right now. I didn't have a level or any, and like, I just got it within the bubble and side to side. And I went over there and played a game. I actually, they sent me a gift card later and they're like, dude, thank you for doing that. Like there was a lot of people that came over and played and they're like, we learned a lot about pinball. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm over there for work and they sent me like a $50
That's
gift
cool.
card just as a thank you.
Yeah. I really actually like that layout quite a bit. You know, the way Board put Herman kind of to the side instead of dead center. That game shoots great.
Yeah. $5,000. Would you buy it?
Yeah, I probably would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Johnny Mnemonic posted by Dude Broman in Westchester, Ohio. 3,100 oboe.
Mm, yeah. See now, once you get under three, If I was looking for another WPC like that,
under three.
Yeah.
It's close.
If that was really close by me.
Yeah.
I would probably just snag it anyway.
Yeah. We'll just talk to Ben. I just sent Johnny Mnemonic went back to his house. If you really want one.
I don't want it that bad. Yeah. That's one of those things like, it's right next door. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Star Wars Pro posted by T-Bone 47 in Memphis, Tennessee. For some reason, most of these are in the East, East Coast. 1,400 plays, $49.95.
Okay, so I'm going to backpedal a little bit. The Munsters, both the Munsters and the Star Wars, if I just wanted something new to play at home, those are good deals.
Yeah.
Or if I needed something for route,
right?
I would totally.
I just meant in a general sense.
Yeah. Okay. All these so far are solid. Yeah, those are great deals.
All right, I got a good one for you. Venom Premium posted by Sam W in Indian Land, South Carolina, and these are all on Pinside.
Wait, what game?
Venom Premium.
Ah.
$6,200.
Yeah, that's a smoking deal. Because the Premium is the version of that game.
It's still for sale. It's been up about a week.
It's still for sale?
Yeah. And it's priced to move. I mean, I paid $8. I paid $8 for it new in box, right? There was an LE. There was an LE that was posted for, I can't remember. I didn't put it on the list, but I think it was $8,000 for an LE of Venom. That game, the Premium, the Pro, don't really care for it that much. I like the variety with the diverter and the leveling system. $6,200 for a Premium. That's like Troy was selling his Mando Premium for $6,000.
Wow.
Couldn't move it.
That's a lot. Both of those are a lot of game for that
price.
Yeah.
Stern Pirates of the Caribbean was posted by Mr. Clean in Long Island, New York for $5,100 oboe.
Mm-hmm. That game sold high for a long time.
Yeah.
Some of these kind of need to come back to reality.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where it was pre-pandemic, so that one's a little tough.
So you got DMD. It's DMD game.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
kinda,
it's
I think right in that five range. If you can get that for under five, that's a smoking deal. I mean, it's 51 oboe. You walked in there with 49 and got out of there with the Pirates. That's a good bit of game.
If it's really clean,
for a newer player, that game is really fun.
Yeah, if it's really
clean. The ship's not in seven pieces.
Yeah, and everything works, you know.
Yeah.
I would say that's a good deal.
All right, now this is the one I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't have money sitting around right now. Cactus Canyon posted by Savannah, Georgia. That's their username. In Flagler Beach, Florida. 200 plays, $5,900. And that is the Cactus Canyon SE.
Right.
With the large monitor.
Chicago went to the point of like, they don't make a classic anymore.
Yeah, they dump the classics with the small screen. So that's basically like their base model.
That's the base model.
But I love that big screen. That big screen is so nice.
Yeah. God, what was the MSRP on those new? Like 75?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 75.
At least 75.
59.
Yeah.
200 plays.
They're about to come out with the update kit. Well, I say about. It's going to be a while probably. But, you know, there's going to be some add-ons to that. More code.
Yeah.
You know, from Lyman's brainchild, you know, before he passed, unfortunately. And, you know, Josh is helping get it all finished off. I mean, that one is, that's solid.
That's hard. It's hard for me not to look at that with.
Because Cactus is a fun game.
It's a fun game, yeah.
Yeah.
And people, people love playing. It's kind of like, you know, it's like Adams and it's like Attack from Mars and Medieval, You know, they love the Western theme and it's goofy and silly, but it shoots great. It's well done. CGC's quality is awesome. That thing is amazing. That thing plays so good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I haven't had a CGC game in a while. The last one I had was Attack from Mars like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Never had an issue with it. That thing showed up. Fantastic, man.
Yeah. So solid. That's a killer deal. I mean, especially there's a couple games in that mix that if you're kind of getting into the hobby,
it's a fun one to get into and start learning basic rules.
It's not too
shooting
hard.
Shots. It's you got the big screen, you know, it's goofy. It's fun.
Yeah.
I like that game. I you know, if I had a bunch of pinball money sitting around, like I'd probably call them and be like, hey, I'd call work and be like, hey, I'm going to be in Florida for a couple days, you know, and I'm going to drive down.
Yeah.
Like we'll get some work done and then I'll come back with a pinball machine. All right, here we are. We are an hour 18 in. Like, I think the last one we had was an hour 24. So let's see if we can get kind of close. All right, we are going to do 10 pinball questions. I don't care. Like the other stuff, your five favorite games, we don't need to go into that again.
Yeah.
But every time you show up on this podcast, you're going to get 10 pinball questions.
Is that everybody? Is that just me now?
No, that's everybody. Everybody's getting 10. I gave Izzy 10. Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to get more questions. Because, you know, we're educating viewers too on some of this stuff.
Maybe.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
And then after this, you and I are going to get a burger because I'm hungry.
I am too.
I was thinking, I hope the place stays open. I think they're open till 9. If not, we'll have to call an audible. All right, here we go. Number one, Keith Elwin's through the pop bumper shot on Iron Maiden was inspired by a shot on this game.
Congo.
All right, it's an easy one. I softballed that one.
Yeah.
What two brothers did callouts on Williams' 1988 Taxi?
It had to be Mark and Steve.
God, he got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mark and I was surprised. I'm like, wow, both of them were on there and they both did callouts.
Yeah, Mark actually did a lot more call outs that people know. You know, he's done quite a few.
I don't have the voice for call outs. Shoot the shot. It just doesn't sound the same as Michael Dorn. Name the six modes on Labyrinth.
Oh, okay. Jeez. Oubliette.
Yep.
Bog.
Yep.
Of Eternal Stench. Cleaners.
Yep.
That's the bottom row.
He's breaking it up by row.
Yeah, the top row is four guards, knockers, and let's see. Oh, fieries, of
there
course.
There you go. Yeah. All right. I was about to give you a hint. I'd be like, hey, you can only throw your own head.
Yeah.
How many inlanes are there on Stern's Ghostbusters?
Inlanes?
Inlanes.
Three? Is it not three?
It's four.
Is it doubled? On
there's
both
two
sides?
on each side.
I thought one side was one. Really?
No, there's four. Wow. I looked at it today. I'm like, dude, there's six rollover switches, like three on each side.
I did not remember
that. I remember that because every once in a while it would drop off the ramp and then it would hit the post and then it would roll into the outline. I'm like, mother.
Yeah, yeah. I totally remembered four. It on the left side, but okay.
All right. You ready? We're going deep cuts right now.
Yeah.
Who did the engineering and mechanics on Funhouse?
Let's see. Engineering and mechanics. Larry DeMar. Not the mechanics. Larry DeMar did software. Shit.
Software. Oh, I'm doing this because he's got, you have two of these in your possession right now, and he's doing some restore work on it, so he's probably staring at the playfield.
Who was his mechanical engineer? Because Larry DeMar,
you want me to give you a hint?
Yeah.
Okay, his first name is John. Last name starts with a K.
Yeah, Krutz.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny because I literally have one stripped.
I know. And the words are right there.
Oh, they're right there. Yeah.
All right. This voice actor did some of the callouts on TMNT, and it's also featured in Thunderbirds Are Go, Star Wars The Phantom Menace, Danger Mouse, and Bob the Builder.
Oh, Mark Sill.
Yep.
Yeah.
God, man. I think up my game. Here you go. What four numbers are listed on the four right side stand-up targets on Rush?
Oh, God. It's Bastille Day, whatever that is. Jesus. I'm not going to get it.
I looked at this today. I'm pretty sure it was the LE. It's the same thing that's written on top of the time machine.
Oh, 1980? No, that's on the back glass. That's on the back glass of the LE. Because that's the moving pictures date. It's on the time machine itself.
It's the same date as the time machine.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
God, what does the time machine start at in it?
No, not what is the numbers on the top.
On the plastic
on the,
model.
On the model.
It's like 1974.
78.
78.
Ah,
shit.
Close.
Yeah.
Okay, on the Addams Family, what do you have to do to get Gomez to say, "Dirty pool, old man, I like it"?
Oh,
I've done this once or twice. I was like, whoa. And it's actually an Attack from Mars too.
Is it really?
Yep. If you lock a ball behind the wall and it doesn't go in and you hit it with another ball and it shoots it in, says it.
In the Gomez voice or?
I think.
It's a different.
I don't know if it's Gomez voice or not. It might not be.
Dirty
but,
pool, old man. It's one of the, I almost.
Do you remember what's on the right side of the play field?
Yeah, it's the swamp, but.
No. Further up.
The bookcase? So it, oh, if you get it in there and it's not, okay.
The bookcase isn't open and you get the ball to go in? Because I've hit it where it's jumped over.
Really?
And it's gone in. And he says, "Dirty pool, old man."
But
I
that's
like
one
it.
Of the skill shots too. That's further up. That's like a, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's totally random
it's
thing to get it in there.
Thing.
Yeah. All right, this company took orders in December 2020 for a game that was never released. What was the full name of the game? I screw this up all the time.
Took orders for a game that wasn't delivered in 2020.
It wasn't delivered at all.
Ever.
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 They took money and it was never delivered. I almost bought one. Almost put money down. I'm so glad I didn't. I was like this close.
2020. God, there's been so many shit failures.
It's a big one.
Haggis died before or after this.
This was pre-pandemic. I'm tempted to give him some hints.
The full time. So, oh God.
This person talked a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. it's oh fuck. What is the, sorry, everyone.
Oh, it's all good. We can say potty words here, Matt. Yeah. It's fine. It's a safe space. We're in the trust tree.
God, Deep Root.
Uh-huh. What was the name of the game?
Oh God. Well, was it the first game they were supposed to release? Yeah. I got it.
It's four letters.
I got it. Retro Atomic Zombie Adventureland.
All right, you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm always like, Retro Zombie Adventureland something.
I don't know why that took so long. I guess I wanted to block that crap out of my memory. Yeah. But, it's funny. I had memory hole to Deep Root.
I was this close to putting money down.
I remember that. You wanted to buy that.
Yeah, I don't know. We probably didn't talk. That much. I think I talked with Izzy, and I'm like, it looks really cool, and I think like people are gonna pass on it. So you might end up in a situation where you have a game that not a lot of people bought, and it's different.
And it's one of those J-pops. People love anything.
Yeah, and dude, I'm so glad. I would have lost. I probably would have lost because it was $6,000 and $9,500 for the two different versions. They had like the basic one, and then they had like the ultra, like the extra.
Well, you probably would have lost the deposit, $1,000 or something. Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't. All right, last one. And then we'll wrap this podcast up. We're at 126, so we're 2 minutes past the last one. Gary Stern is featured on the Jaws playfield above the right inlane switch. What is he doing?
Oh, he's sitting in like an inner tube floating around. Yeah.
He's so small, but he's got his glasses on. You can see him.
Yeah.
I love it. So I tried to ask questions about games that you've had for the most part. So you're pretty good. You're 70%.
You're 70%.
I'm going to keep asking you questions about Rush. I'm going to break
you. You know
what's
sad is I've had expression lights on it. I mean, like sitting in a box haven't put them on and they've been here for like months.
I mentioned that on a stream the other day. I bought the lens lights to change the color on the insert on Jaws.
Yeah.
I bought that in April of 2024. They're still sitting in a box in my shop, and I work on these things all the time. I just want to play. I don't want to install it.
I'm so busy. I haven't got back around to it.
Yeah. So there you go. 10 pinball questions. Let's see, little news here real quick. Troy from the Basement Arcade and Bar is going to be recording a podcast with me, a little bit later, or actually earlier next week. What's the date today? It's January 24th for the official, captain's log. So it's January 24th, 2025. So Troy's going to come over. We'll get a new episode up with him. That will probably go up not this Monday coming, but the Monday after. I've been trying to put them up on Monday and get you guys something every week. We have some other guests. I'm working on getting Saran in here. Get some information from him, put him through the 10 pinball questions thing, find out what games he likes. We got a couple other folks too I'd like to get in here. I want to get Joe in here. Joe Albertson, we want to get him in here. He's been over to stream a good bit. So just get a lot of different personalities. There's a couple that always show up at the Basement Arcade Bar. We got to know them pretty well. They still haven't been over here to play pinball. But they have a Monster Bash, and they've gotten really into pinball, which is cool. So I'll probably have both of them come over and do because they've been in it for a while. They own a machine, but you know, I don't know how much they're working on games. They're like learning and just starting. So I want to get some folks in here too that are newer to the hobby. Yeah, different perspectives, what they like, you know, because we certainly have our opinions, but I want to make sure that you know we talk to lots of different people and get different perspectives on things. So. With that, be sure to check out, the other thing I did, I got these podcasts up on Spotify. I haven't put them up on Apple yet. I need to do that. But I am going to put those up there for those folks that want to listen, who don't necessarily want the video and all that, but, this will go on YouTube. Be sure to check out my videos for, install tutorials on things. All my streams are up. I made it to, like I said, Final Battle twice last night on stream. That video just went up on YouTube. Under Hurry Up Pinball. So check that out if you want to see kind of what it takes to get there and what it looks like. You can see how mean that game is. I think I had a game last night that was a million. Three balls, I got a million. And then after that, I got like 20.
Sounds like
tennis. Yeah. So with that, I want to say thank you, Matt, for being our first repeat guest in here. We're going to get TV Ben back in here as well. We got to get Lance in here. It's just schedules, man.
It's tough.
You were here, and I'm like, dude, we got to record.
Yeah, we got to record. So. The you know, maybe if you're watching this, put pressure on Craig to haul a bunch of crap to Texas and we'll have everybody at one time.
Oh, I'm already
that
thinking,
would be awful.
I'm already, yeah. I want to enjoy it too. Like it's like when I go places for work.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I go places for work and I'm in really cool locations, you know, and I'm like stuck in a room all day,
yeah,
or like I have a specific agenda. When I go to TPF, I took a lot of pictures last year.
That was nice.
I may
yeah.
borrow Ben's. He has a gyro stabilized mini camera, and I may actually walk the floor so everybody can see what TPF really looks like. And it might be a 10-minute video of me walking around and showing you everything, and you see the crowds. I did that little recap video, and that was really cool.
It was
and
cool.
Even if nobody ever watched it, I'm like, I have this video and it's a great memory of me hanging out with my friends.
Yeah, I
so.
Was like, man, I got to get better about that in my own life, just taking pictures and stuff. Because, like, I just kind of wander around.
I'm going to get my kids down here. I was talking to my wife about this, and I'm just going to interview them. You know, what year is it? What are you into? What do you like doing? You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like, so 10, 15 years from now, we can sit down and they can watch it if they want.
It'd be cool,
like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
that's
the fun part, too.
I've got some of those Meta glasses,
yeah,
that have the cameras and everything. I should take those.
Cool. Yeah,
we'll record.
Yeah.
Some stuff.
They don't record smells, do they?
I hope not. Yeah,
we'll leave that one alone. But
maybe they have like a little Axe body spray dispenser that sprays just out of it. Yeah, a
little out the side.
At least they won't smell like butt, but they'll smell like stinky.
I mean, I'll tell you, it wasn't bad, but there was somebody there who definitely. Definitely drop some bombs on the crowd. And Matt is usually mild mannered. I just remember looking over and he's like, "Oh my god," you know. And I'm just like, "Oh, I'm like, dude, yeah."
Remember the real cantankerous old guy? That was
Who was really mad?
Oh yeah, he's just mad.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff too. You go down there and you see a lot of different personalities, and it's awesome. So I'm gonna try and shoot some more video this year when I go. But again, I want to enjoy it. I want to experience it too. Like I find sometimes, especially with kids stuff, if I'm shooting video of everything, I miss out on the experience of it.
That's true. There's got to be a balance.
It's great for everyone else, but I miss the experience. So I'll balance it out. But we'll get some good stuff at
TPF.
I'm
wondering if I should get some like noise canceling earbuds or headphones, just because it's
loud in there,
and you're in there for so long.
Yeah. You walk out and you're like, "This is what silence."
It
kind of
starts
like.
To be like exhausting just from the noise. You know,
you got to leave the room every once in a while.
My ears are kind of messed up anyway, so
why'd you say, man? I didn't hear what you were
saying. Years of rock concerts and
rock concerts and
shots.
Machinery.
Yeah, machinery. So I'm wondering maybe if that would be a good idea to. I don't. It might look goofy walking around with headphones.
It's okay. I talk a lot. You know, people get tired of that too.
Dude, it's just the clacking.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, thank you, Matt, for hanging out tonight. It's episode 5. If you're watching this, it means it's already up. But I will get it up on Spotify as well, and I'll get it up. Get these up on Apple too. So, thanks for all the support. Thanks for the feedback. You know, I love comments, so throw stuff in the comments. You have suggestions, things you want to talk about, throw them in there. We'll work them into some podcasts. So, with that, I'm going to kick it over to the end screen. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. Stay safe and play more pinball.